These are two quite contrary worldviews. The deeper, the more tragic is the latter. The life view of the tropical world, where the image of life living on death is the dominant one. The other is a boyish, simple, careless view. Nothing's happening. We go back and forth. The same old beings are here. But this other is the tragic view. And since the great high civilizations of the world, emerging in the Near East on the basis of agriculture and animal husbandry, carried on that imagery of life out of death, we have the mythology, for example, of the Christian tradition, out of Christ's death, our eternal life. That's the whole background of the image of the crucifixion. And you have it earlier than that in the imagery of Attis, Adonis, Dionysus, the Eleusinian rites, and so forth and so on. Here is a continuity. This constitutes an insight into something about life. It isn't an absolute truth about life, but it's an insight, and it's a game that one can play, and one can give oneself in terms of this game, or in terms of the hunting game, a totally different one. Here are these two great primitive traditions. Anthropologically, this is an absurdly simple thing I'm telling you here, but basically, and in a broad sense, these are two totally contrary mythological traditions. But I want to move now, in conclusion, to the traditions of the higher cultures, the great literate societies, agriculturally based, that grew out of this thing that developed in the Near East. I see these as falling into two great groups also. One we would call the Orient, and the other the Occident. And I draw the line through Persia, through Iran. Eastward of Iran, there are two great creative culture centers, North India and the Far East, China and Japan. Both of these are cut off by mountains and seas and deserts. They are relatively isolated. New influences arriving can be absorbed by the powers already there, by the traditions already there. Westward of Iran, there are also two great creative culture centers. One is the Near East, or Levant, where the early high cultures emerged. The great stress here is on the society, on the group, not the individual, but the participation of the individual in the group. And the other great culture zone is Europe, which is the archetypal zone of the Paleolithic hunt, of the individual. And these two areas, in contrast to the two Oriental ones, which are isolated, are in continuous interplay, so that there has taken place through the centuries a tremendous intercourse between these two zones. Furthermore, there are two terrifically violent and ruthless warrior peoples who have been pushing in from north and south, respectively, on the peasant groups, the landed groups of the middle area. And these are the Aryans from the north, from the grazing plains, the cattle herding plains of Europe, and the Semites from the Syro-Arabian desert area with their sheep and goat herding societies. These two warrior groups who honor a masculine divinity, a lord of thunderbolts, are in diametric contrast in their whole mythology to the land-based groups who revere the goddess Earth, who sends forth her riches for her children. The whole story of the Old Testament is the story of the conflict between this warrior god who declares, "Those fields you did not plant, you shall reap. Houses you did not build, you shall inhabit." The conflict of this masculine divinity, and the Greeks and Celts and Germans had the same idea. Contrast of this with the reverence for the goddess, for fertility, who are despised by these warrior people, is one of the main motifs in the mythologies of the Western world. Well, now, let me just say that when these agricultural societies emerged, presently in the fourth millennium, cities appear with these differentiated populations that have to be held in control by an iron hand, a despot. And you have the mythology of the despot king.